Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with the hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Mrs. Brown Sugar. We, of course, would love to hear from you, so please give us a call, 347-826-7435. That's the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now, if you also want to just hook us up and be down with us on the social media, you can always look us up, Smooth Drama Group on Facebook. Myself, a shiny mustache.
Whiskers.
Whiskers, my bad. Shiny Whiskers. So we say all his follicles are shiny. So Shiny Whiskers, Mr. J, or myself will add you on Facebook. Shiny Whiskers. I'm sorry. Okay. I don't want to mess that up. Anyway, Smooth Drama Group on Facebook. Myself a Shiny Whiskers. Hook you up. Add you. Also, anywhere you find Smooth Drama, follow us, add us. You know, friend request. We will put you on. Because that's what we do. Right?
Yeah.
Now, If you're listening to the show live, you can jump into the chat room on Blog Talk, or we would prefer to chat with you on the Smooth Drama site. So if you go to www.smoothdrama.com, you can go on the site. We have a chat room where you can come in and chat, ask questions anytime. It's real easy to get there. You just type in smoothdrama.com, and then bam. You can come in and you can ask a question at any particular point in time. That chat room is always live. Just saying. If you want to hang out with us. All right. So if you wanna hang out with us 10 minutes after the show, we go, it's like Smooth Drama OT. We're doing that overtime. You know, because we wanna holler at you. And if you want to go the old-fashioned way and email us your questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. There's all kinds of ways you can get in contact with us. And we, of course, relish the discourse. Because that's what we do here at Smooth Drama. We discourse. That don't sound right.
I was going to say, but I wasn't going to say. But since you brought it up.
why are you scared, though?
I'm not scared. I was just going to let you finish what you were saying.
You're going to let me finish, then going to say, oh, that was kind of weak.
Not weak. It's just, like you said, it didn't sound right.
Okay.
But, yeah. Right. It's right. What you said was right. It just sounded, you know.
Kind of soft. All right. I got you. All right. So.
No. You said it didn't sound right. I disagree. I didn't necessarily have a feeling behind it. I disagree.
Hey, I'm just pushing your buttons. That's all. I'm a button pusher.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I know.
All right. So, speaking of pushing the buttons, Tales from the Scrumptious Apocalypse. It just scrumptious. At this point, the apocalypse has gotten so delicious that it's scrumptious.
Yeah.
What was the most scrumptious thing to talk about today? Texas politician Jonathan Strickland. This dude, and you know, I can believe he said it, but this dude suggested that if ETs exist, they will need extra help if they want to get to heaven. So, yeah.
What do you mean he extra said, help in heaven?
Yeah. They would, he said, aliens would have to accept Jesus Christ as their savior if they wanted to visit heaven.
Okay, so what was the whole conversation about? Like, how did they even get on the topic of aliens and Jesus and heaven?
Well, so they were talking about the Pentagon's Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. And Republican Representative Jonathan Strickland suggested that if ETs exist, they will need extra help if they want to get to heaven.
Okay. I mean, I don't know any ETs personally, but I'm going to assume that heaven and Jesus are like things they're not thinking about.
Well, I always say that, one, the earth is flying around in what? The heavens first. And if you're in a spaceship, you're already in the heavens.
I'm assuming that he's meaning like biblical heaven, though, not like atmosphere heaven.
Yeah, I know.
If it's the atmosphere heaven, then aren't we all there already? I mean, we're all in the atmosphere.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. The earth is already in the heavens, first.
Yeah.
Second, when he said, if ETs exist, because once again, you got to remember, there are some people who are so dense that they think that there are a whole bunch of planets with nothing on it. Earth is the only planet with intelligent life. There's people who believe that and who will ride into the sunset with it. We'll ride into the sunset with. There's no life on any planet but Earth. This is before the Scrumptious Apocalypse.
Yeah. I mean, but that's a scary thought, though.
Is it?
I mean, me and you have these discussions, and you always like go back and forth like with your view, and like the common person doesn't want to think about a life outside of what they know, and anything different than that is scary. Isn't that why we have discrimination in the first place?
Okay, so here's what we're talking about here, right?
Mm-hmm.
We live in America. There's an expectation, like, if you go on vacation somewhere, that there are people that live there too. So, now, I know they're like, oh, well, as humans, it's a different conversation, but it's not. So, you can tell me that, if we go to Neptune, there's not an expectation that there might not be. No. See, because that's how narcissistic the hubris that you have. Like, there's only life on Earth, and all the rest of the planets in the universe are empty. It's just waiting on us to get our stuff together so we can go out there and civilize and colonize these worlds. That's what's happening.
Well, yeah, I think that in the belief in some cases, I mean, some cases the other planets aren't inhabitable anyway. They can't, life can't survive there. So
inhabitable for us.
So do you think there's life on the planets that are closest to the sun?
Yeah.
I mean, because I feel like this, yeah?
Yeah, you're just hot.
Okay.
You're just hot. It just,
there's alien life forms. Because I'm not even thinking about, like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem possible, something close to the sun. I mean, fire is fire regardless, right, or no?
Okay. So what you're talking about here is, like, there's a difference in creatures. There are some creatures who can take extreme cold, right? So penguins, yeah. They live in the North Pole. It's cold up there. Polar bears, there are different animals, creatures that can take different things. So, like, you go deep beneath the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain thing that happens where the pressure from the ocean will crush us humans.
Yes.
But there's
sea life that lives below that.
I'm not saying that
it's not. I just feel like
the sun itself
is still, like, I don't know.
It's hot. So guess what? They probably could take the heat.
Yeah.
That don't make sense. I'm just saying.
For the cold, I get it, but not for the heat. No, I don't see that. I just see anything.
Right. I know. Any life form burning. Because you don't like the heat. It's a difference. There could be life forms that can take the heat. It's not that big of a deal. Camels can go long without water? They can take the heat.
That's not the heat of the sun, though.
Okay.
I mean, the sun is burning. Like.
All right. And the cold is cold.
Yeah, but it's spewing like lava and heat and like it's exploding and stuff like that.
Hold on. We didn't say they lived on the sun. We said that they live on a planet closer to the sun.
Yeah, okay.
And so it's hotter. And so they can take the heat. I'm guessing if they came to the Earth, they'd be like, man, this cold as hell on this planet. That makes sense? Just a little bit.
It does. All right.
Okay. All right. And so the scrumptious apocalypse continues. So a man in Florida, we're on the next level where a dude just walked up. He just walked up and just picked up the baby. He walked into a hotel room and picked up this woman's child in front of the mother. Just like, I'm just going to take your kid. And she fought him off, and he fled the scene.
Wow.
24-year-old. Yeah. I guess, how sometimes the hotel room, you got it cracked open, whatever. He just walked in, saw the kid, just tried to pick up the kid. I'm going to take your kid.
She was in the hotel room?
Yeah.
Okay, she was crazy for that, though.
She was crazy for that.
Yes, I never kept my hotel room open. My hotel room door open? Please.
No. Oh, okay. So, I don't know the situation, right? But let's just say that you was about to leave or something, that, oh, we got to grab this and the door is open. And then, dude just walks in. People walk by your hotel room all the time. And so,
apparently. Exactly why the door stays shut.
Okay.
If somebody has to go back and get something, I shut the door and I wait outside the door. But the door is shut.
Okay. All right.
You must not have seen, like, Taken and those type of movies.
I've seen those movies.
We know slavery exists. I'm just saying, when I see those type of movies, I just think of being robbed. I think of being assaulted. I don't necessarily think of being kidnapped, but robbed and assaulted, I do think of.
Okay.
So
see, maybe that's my as a man, I don't think about it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I've never been robbed, or assaulted in any type of way. but I've seen enough of it in the movies to know that. Dang,
see,
you
but
know,
see, you keep
think about
about
it while you're watching it. Well,
why are we talking about
movies? Because that's my experience.
No, movie,
the like,
movie
you know
is not an experience.
It is
a movie
experience.
Is not an experience. Are you serious?
For
a movie
me it
is not an experience, Brown. Come on.
For me, it is. For those types of situations, for those types of situations, yes. Because I
so
don't want to have
movies.
That experience.
We quote movies.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
We quote
you
movies,
can say
right.
what you want to say. I know one thing, they've kept me safe all this time. And if I'm ever in that situation, I know what to do.
I saw Star Wars, and I just know if he has a lightsaber,
no.
don't go over it. I mean, come on.
And I'm not talking about like Star Wars, or you know, I'm not using like Jurassic Park. Well, I could in some instances. So.
Right,
but,
you said Taken. That's not real. That's not real.
Are you serious? Okay, you know what? I can't even.
Okay, one
so
dude,
real.
One dude can go and kill a whole network of killers.
I'm not even talking about that part. I'm talking about the way the girls were taken.
Okay. You know what? I can't with you tonight.
So do movies imitate life or does life imitate movies?
Neither.
You see, it's like, yes. Mm. Oh, my God.
Okay.
So how do they
you know
change?
What?
We can't
even
talk about it because you got other things on your so
right. We're gonna agree to disagree and we're gonna go on break. You know what? This is Scarface. Guess who's back?
Talk to me, man.
Right.
Scarface, Jay-Z, Beanie Siegel. Guess who's back? 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. To open or not to open? That is the question. Talking about school. Yeah, it's all out there. You know, folks is going crazy talking about it. It's nuts out here. You know, should I send my kid back to school? You know, I read this article where they were talking about, you know, they put the subliminal message out there. This mother, she has to choose between her kid going to school because he's first grader, or her not being able to go back to work. Because if he has to stay home, distance learning, I can't go to work. I'm like,
that is a possibility.
Yeah, it's a possibility, but that is a fugazi argument when it comes to the back to school. Yeah, I mean, because we haven't touched on it, but it's something that bears mentioning. Because, you know, they come out with the figures talking about how children have 5 to 10% more, and we're talking about smaller children, have 5 to 10% more COVID properties they can carry more than older children. And so, you know, the other factor is, I mean, one, the rapid spread, because unlike other essential workers who work in the store and they don't really come in contact with folks, they have social distancing and the mask and all that in a well-ventilated area because everything is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
In the school, most classrooms, whatnot, aren't a lot of windows. It's not well ventilated. It's problematic. And what happens if someone has COVID? Do you shut down the whole thing?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, so. I mean, these are things that you hear the people because they won't get rid of their kids, but they don't think about the implications of having 700-800 people swirling by each other every day, all day.
Yeah, for at least 6 hours for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Constant.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know if we've talked about it before, but in January, I mean, it was just a mess. So this is before we even knew that what it was. We just knew it was something. So, I mean, it was just it was a mess. It was very stressful. It's a stressful situation to have. And I understand, you know, they're saying, well, kids don't necessarily get sick. And yeah, but they can infect the teachers there. And in turn, they could carry it back home to infect their families. And I don't think they're thinking about it like that.
Nope.
Because there's no way, like, younger kids are not wearing a mask for too long.
Nope.
It's a whole bunch of things that parents aren't even thinking about that are going to happen there. They're not going to social distance just because they're just not even thinking to social distance. There's going to be that one kid who does social distance and that's all they can think about. So anybody that comes near them, they're going to have a breakdown. So, it's a lot to have to deal with. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of sad about it because I do feel like, you know, kids need to be in school, but yeah, just not right now.
Yeah. We're gonna see these things ramp up, and so there's the social, there's the distance learning that's going to happen, but then eventually we're gonna see kids go back to school. And then that will be when the patootie hits the fan.
Well, I feel like if the government and all these parents want their kids back in school, then everybody should be mandated to wear a mask for a whole month.
Yeah. You know, there are people who will shoot you if you try to make them wear a mask right now.
Well, you know, you can't have it both ways, but you can't have it both ways. You can't want your kid to be in school, you know what I mean, and possibly, you know, infect other people unbeknownst to them. You know, it's not necessarily their fault. But, what if you get it and they get it and then they bring it to school and infect the teachers or other children?
That's collateral damage. Collateral damage.
What if it's your kid though that's in the hospital? Then that's the problem.
Oh yeah, of course.
That's what I don't understand.
But it's not a problem if it doesn't affect me. You haven't figured that one out yet. That's how they roll. It's not a problem.
I'm going to be that one, so then no.
Yeah.
Because there were some people arguing about, like, certain states or certain districts having them sign a waiver. And they were like, well, I'm not signing the waiver, and I'm going to send my kids to school. And I'm like, you can't have it both ways. Well, it's the school's job to protect my child. Well, I can't protect. I mean, you wouldn't say if they caught the flu, if they caught a common cold, or even the chicken pox, you wouldn't
sue the school. That's school's fault. You should have seen that chicken pox and tackled my child out the way so the chicken pox would fly over. That's what was supposed to happen. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we know.
Ridiculous.
Well, no, it's just people in particular. You know, there's because, you know, as the capitalists go, they're like, look, you gotta get out there and work for me. All this other stuff, look, you gotta risk your life. Now, mind you, the people who are arguing the most are the people who are not around people. All right, those are always the ones who are on the front line of negotiations and talking, because, hey, you know what? You need to get back to work. Y'all being lazy. But they are locked up in their room, closed off from the world. They're not out there.
Have the ability to walk from home.
Oh yeah. Well, they're not out there. Yeah. They're not around a whole bunch of people. They don't have random encounters.
Mm-hmm.
That happens.
Exactly.
So, I mean, because you just see disaster because one, you'll have folks who want to get in the fights, and then you're going to have, you know, you always got those a-hole kids who want to like Well, I'm going to spit on you then.
Exactly.
You're going to have.
I can see
that's going to happen. Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything like that, but
we have
to lick their hands, they're
going
to wipe their nose, and then say, I have the cooties, and chase the other kids. There's going to be that one kid whose parents have freaked them out, and they're going to have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be crying and snotting everywhere. I could see masks being used as tissue.
He touched me, and that's why I hit him. And you can't even argue with kids. Like it's gonna be a whole lot of stuff. And people who don't take these things seriously, it'll happen. When it happens to your kid, it's your fault because you didn't take heed. You wanted to get rid of them. I get that these are unusual times and unusual circumstances. It's stressful for all involved. Just understand that there are two sides to the circle.
Exactly, because I feel like they think teachers are just sitting back and in their bedrooms, laying in the bed with the computer on their lap. And to me, it's even more. You think it was hard teaching kids in the classroom and you guys are physically together to keep them from being distracted. Just imagine. Now we're on a computer and I can see you and I can see that you're looking at TV, or your baby brother walked in and now you're playing with your brother or your sister, or grandma came to visit and now, she wants to see you. And it's not going to be easy.
It's going to happen. August, the month that school starts back up, the month that the unemployment insurance payments, they stop. August has a chance to flip. No, I'm talking about just in general. That $600 extra that has been
floating
around.
Oh, you're saying, okay, that is all coming to an end.
Yeah, that stopped today. Today, that was it. There is no more.
It might be a volcano eruption for August.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get ugly. It's not even going to get ugly. It's going to be oogly. It's going to be oogly. Speaking of oogly, I guess we just going to go into our dumbass of the week. Always got to get that last one in. Senator Tom Cotton. This is the dude that talked about slavery. So, I'm going to read Tom Cotton's quote. We have to study the history of slavery and its role and impact on the development of our country, because otherwise we can't understand our country. As the Founding Fathers said, it was the necessary evil upon which the Union was built. But the Union was built in a way, as Lincoln said, to put slavery on the course to its ultimate extinction. Now, after he said that, and they read that on the air, he says, that is fake news. That is not what I said. He said, because we got double quoting now. What I said is that many founders believed that only with the Union and the Constitution could we put slavery on the path to its ultimate extinction.
So it's not what he said, it's what he meant to say.
Yeah.
What I meant to say.
Yeah. He said, but the fundamental moral principle of America is right there in the Declaration. All men are created equal, and the history of America is a long and sometimes difficult struggle to live up to that principle. And so he was fighting against the 1619 Project, which wants to, you know, show the truth, talking about slavery and whatnot. He says, showing the truth about slavery will teach kids to hate America.
Oh.
Yeah, he says, it teaches kids, I got to get this out, then I'll let you go. It says, it teaches kids to believe that America was founded not on human freedom, but on racism. To think that slavery was not an aberration, but the true heart of America. Go ahead.
Okay, so to teach them the truth.
That's too much.
The truth is
too much. Truth is too much. So yeah,
teach them lies and they'll feel better about being an American?
Yeah. Slavery was an aberration. It's not the true heart of America. I mean, it's like right now. You know, the whole racist tension, Black Lives Matter, all that stuff.
Figment of your imagination. Let's not even include slavery into America for that. What about the Native Americans that were here first? What about that?
So clearly what you do not understand is this. So they discovered a place. Now, obviously, if you discover a place where there are millions of people living, it's not really problematic. It's just we weren't there, so nobody lived there. And that's why we can claim it for us.
He discovered a place that was already people were already there.
So
people are already here.
Yeah.
They're leaving that part out.
No, they don't leave that part out. Yeah, because they talk about the people that are there. It's quite obvious.
But what I'm saying is they don't talk about that there were people already
there. We don't talk about that.
I was going to say, are we not to talk about that too then?
No.
But don't talk about that and don't talk about slavery.
So for example, if you're teaching history and you're talking about that the Trail of Tears where they made the Native Americans walk from Georgia and Ohio to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that's a long ass drive that they had to walk.
Yeah.
Cross country.
Yeah.
Not everybody had a horse, but.
And not everybody made it.
Right. There's too many details, right? But the point is, that was voluntary. You know, because I've heard it talk where they talk about Andrew Jackson. He said, look, y'all can stay here in Georgia if you want, but I can't guarantee you that something's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically saying you might not make it through the night if you stay here.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. But once again, it's problematic that we talk about the truth because it's the truth.
Yeah.
See how that works?
I was just
talking about the truth. So Tom Cotton is like, hey, because the 1619 Project would like tell the truth. And he's like, we can't be telling the truth because then we'll be indoctrinating the kids to hate America because America was founded on freedom for us. Not everybody, but for us. But we can't talk about that part because then you would grow up knowing the truth. And we've been really, really good at kind of like smushing the
truth
to the side.
I think for the most part, kids are learning the truth now. So parents are finally, you know, able to talk about. I'm not saying all kids. I'm just saying some. Some parents are comfortable now with talking about the truth. More so than they were before.
Yeah, but it's all in who are these parents? I'm just saying. I'm guessing it's not parents who hang out with Tom Cotton and his friends. Just a guess.
Possibly. Yeah. I can see that, yeah.
Yeah. You see that? Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like as long as there's more parents that oppose to his beliefs that are talking to their kids, then, you know, that's all you can kind of hope for.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, I guess we're going to take another break. This is Exhibit Deeper.
So it all comes down to this one specialist with a hit list, right fist, all tight, MDS, fight, night, tight, tight, thing. When I hit to the stage, we can face off, watch me ride in this fearless cage, free in your ridiculous ways, never compromise, look into my eyes, show me what you want, victory, ecstasy, maybe Hennessy, energy, wasted, and then we get late with that point blank to the face, who you think this is, dumb like fucking nigga, ass, freaking finish me, self-discipline, hide the kid, let the record spin, pop up, y'all over again, what I'm saying, like the original scene, I'm trying to fuck it up for everybody, the hot tidy, get the left call, John Gotti, I kick back like karate, what a small part of the solid black Maserati, lying guard of any day.
Is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Groundhog Day. You know what it is.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Oh, in Missouri, People might have forgot about this one. It's been so many, you can lose track. Michael Brown's killer, the police officer who killed him, faces no charges. No charges.
That's not... Yeah.
Yeah. Unarmed.
I mean, I could see where that would happen, though, because he was one of the first ones. So,
okay.
So it's even, you know.
Yeah. So that was. That was 6 years ago. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
we're not gonna bother him with all this, you know. Interrupt his life even more so.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sure he's had a hard time dealing with this.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
The police officer?
Yeah.
You don't think so? You know, his whole life, he probably can't go anywhere now. Can he work? Can he get a job?
George Zimmerman is... Yeah, he didn't face any charges.
Yeah, so did he get, they don't care. I mean, they feel like that was punishment enough, so he's not going to face any charges.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? You kill somebody and you don't get charges. It's sort of like when we were talking about the Catholic priests. They rape people and they face no consequences. That's not tough. That's the exact opposite.
He can't go out in public anymore. He can't be citizen anymore.
People know
who he is. And
do they?
I don't know. I would assume people haven't forgotten.
I would say they probably have. Look, George Zimmerman gets to go out to eat. So George Zimmerman can go out to eat. I'm guessing this guy can go out to eat.
True.
So, true. I mean, and so we say, all right, it took 6 years for them not to charge Michael Brown's killer. So what they just did, the Kentucky Attorney General's office won't require Louisiana public agencies to release Breonna Taylor's autopsy report. And he says it shouldn't be released yet, right? Yeah.
Why does it need to be released?
So well, because
be
they're
more graphic than what it really is, then.
Well, I mean, we are talking about the fact that she was shot in her home. So,
yeah.
And she was innocent. I mean, it's kind of. See, it's like this one is like the ultimate nail in the coffin, you know, for people who don't understand how racist this society is, because we're talking about a woman who was killed in her home. She didn't commit any crimes, don't have a criminal record. I mean, there's nothing. Because normally they have, oh, yeah, you know, homie running down the street. Yeah, he was trying to steal from the mother home. They say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like Trayvon Martin, he looks suspicious. You know, they're outside. They go to the wrong place and they kill her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing. You can't, nothing. But what's going to happen is her killers are going to get off. They have not even been arrested yet.
No, they haven't.
Still haven't been arrested.
That's what I was going to say, though. I mean, for them to have not been arrested, I don't think at this point they would be. I can't see why they would. You know what I mean? Unless, you know, people press harder, which would be more riots, or, you know, that would, it would have to come to those terms, I believe, at this point.
Well, yeah, but you see, that's what we're saying. So we're in the midst of they're still protesting, as you've seen in Portland. And actually, what happened in New York, there's a video where the police jump out of an unmarked van in New York, and they stuff this white woman in the van, hop in, and they pull off. Because remember when I said that they were going to, the Empire is going to strike back? This is what happens. And so, you know, we're talking about Breonna Taylor and how they haven't even been arrested. And in Portland, they're just picking people off. And in New York, they're unmarked van, they're picking people off. So when the administration said, hey, we're going to send federal agents all across the country to cities where it's problematic, they're basically saying, hey, we just gonna pick y'all up off the streets and throw you in an unmarked van, and that's gonna be it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is something that's happening. So what they've been doing, and it's crazy what they're doing. There's the judges, they're arresting people for the minor offenses, and then as a condition for them getting out, they have to sign something saying they won't attend any future protests.
Oh, wow.
That's the only way you can get released.
Wow.
Yeah. So according to this report, at least 12 people arrested in connection with the demonstrations were expressly prohibited from being present at any future public demonstration as they await their days in court. So the judge is saying, if you go to another protest, when your day in court comes, it's going to be ugly. Now, that's unconstitutional. But that's what's happening. So I saw in Chicago that they arrested some gang leader. That's, you know, it's like, hey, we're going to bring the violence now. We're going to just arrest all the gang leaders. That's what they're doing.
Is that, do you feel like that's a problem?
No, I don't have a problem with that. But see, you show that because it says that, hey, this is justifying what we're doing, because nobody cares when you're arresting quote unquote violent criminals, right? It's not a big deal. But understanding that that's not who they're necessarily gunning for. You know, I've said it. I'm keep saying it. Y'all think that it's about us, but it's about y'all. All you anarchists out there, all you anti-government people, they coming for you. What you gonna do when they come for you? Yeah. This is what's happening. You see it coming, but folks, don't take my word seriously. And while you're arguing over that, I mean, there's something else happening. So I saw in Mexico, in northern Mexico, they burned several government vehicles and blocked railway tracks and set fire to a government office and highway toll booths to protest water payments to the United States. So what's happening is apparently Mexico makes water payments, and they've been doing it under a 1944 treaty. But the farmers in the northern state of Chihuahua, they want the water for their own crops. They're like, why are we paying the United States? We give the United States our water when we can use it. And so they're protesting that. So I'm going to say that this is a more in particular Southern California, and I'm guessing some more border areas like New Mexico, places where it's dry, whatnot. It'd be more issue for them, because if that water doesn't show up, then it's going to be a drought. Because we're not self-sufficient. We're not self-sufficient.
So where do they get their water from?
Oh, they from their dam. They have
and
a dam.
That's where we get our water from as well.
Yeah, it's from Mexico City.
And they're using the same water, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, well, no, it's part of a treaty where Mexico kicks up water to the United States.
Yeah.
And
so
the farmers
are they saying they don't have enough water for their own, or that's what I'm asking?
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying, why are we, why are we giving our water?
We're giving them
right.
Yeah.
When we can use our water. Let them get their own water. So that's why there was a big protest, and they burnt the toll booths and all that other stuff. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, they're like, no, stop letting our water go. So, you see, while you're focused on some things, some stuff that really should matter to you. It's happening. It's one of those things. It bears watching, because when you start talking about the people that you're kind of like forcing, paying you protection, because giving the water is like paying protection money, right? And when they stop paying, what do you do?
Well, you
just
don't
curious.
Protect them anymore, but then you have to figure out, were you protecting them in a well manner anyway? Were you doing it the right way anyway?
Well, I
they
mean,
must not feel protected anymore.
Well, when I say protected, you know, the protection just means that I'm scared to say something. You know, I'm scared to not pay you because there could be some serious consequences. And so,
and that's what I'm saying. The consequences must not feel like it'll be it's not a benefit for them anymore.
Yeah, well, it was never a benefit for them. You're a farmer and you don't have enough water for your crops because you got to kick up water to the main guy. And that was what was happening. And they're like, because a lot of these countries, they're rich in resources. They just don't get to, keep their resources because the colonial power takes it. And so what happens? I mean, because it's like, are we going to go to war to Mexico if they don't kick up that water? A very, very serious thing. Something we'll be watching. And on that note, for Miss Brown Sugar, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. Y'all can check us out on the www.smoothdrama.com site. I'm out. Well, we're out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is is the lady with her hands
up. Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you've got
to move.
Drama.